The Entrepreneurs Advocacy presents Street Smart Sales, a combination of personality recognition techniques and physiognomy, a science of communication techniques based on recognizing traits in one's face. The approach.
It's not who you know, but who knows you that makes a difference in your level of success. My name is Sharon Abbott, founder of Elite Leads, helping you get better connected in the business community so that you can realize your peak potential for success. So, anyone had a sales challenge last month? Yeah?
Yep.
What was it?
Gentleman that was looking to buy all of Solano County for us, which is 14 stores for the Obies brand, and went down to see one of the stores in Fresno. The franchisee in Fresno thinks he knows better than Obies and has not been following all of Obies' guidelines and procedures, and therefore his store is failing, which he blames on Obies. So he badmouthed the entire company, the process, said he should have never got involved, said that Obies made him all these promises, which they never did. And so now this guy is very, very reluctant on moving forward. At the same time, Obies took their website down for 2 weeks. I don't know why. It doesn't take that long to switch to a new website, turn a switch. So he went back on to look at the website. Website's down, so now he's thinking that this is a big scam, a big fraud, and not sure that he wants to get involved.
Do you have successful franchisees?
Yes, and I've given him so many names and numbers of people to call, and news articles.
I think the press number.
That's the closest location that we have open right now. So they have to go to Fresno to see the store, unfortunately. And I was not aware when I was last time I was in Fresno, the guy was great. He was loving life.
So but one of the things that you always need to know is that a good recommendation today does not ever guarantee a good recommendation tomorrow.
Right.
So you always verify diligently before you ever give anyone that as a reference. What if you had interviewed them and you found out there was some discontent, you could have done phone interviews rather than a face-to-face. They still got the value. So what you might do is a three-way conference call with successful franchise.
Right.
And then, you know, one of the things, you know, people who are reasonable understand that there's always going to be a rule of thumb, right? So 20% of the people produce 80% of the result. And if you look at a franchise, it's the same thing. 20% do really well. 80% are mediocre at best. And it has to do with how much people put into a business. And it doesn't matter whether it's a franchise or any business. If you look at mortgage brokers, how many people in mortgage do $200,000 a year? Not even 5%. And yet I know people who do 30 loans a month. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like, what do you put into it? What are you doing every day to pay attention? So a reasonable person is going to understand that there's always going to be somebody doesn't do that well.
Right.
And then not the example. What you can say is, well, this is the person you can learn the most from. Right. All the things that they did wrong are what you want to learn. The reason you look for franchises is because there's a system. You follow the system, your easiest way to success. If you don't follow the system, it's your easiest way to failure. And they've just proven that once again. So you can turn that around.
Yeah, and it would have been much easier if Obies hadn't taken their website down. Because again, when he went back on to look at their website, and there's not even a forwarding address, there's not even a, you know, hey, we're coming back soon message, there's
it's what can go wrong will go wrong.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you do lose a website, it can go down for a couple of days. I don't know about 2 weeks, but that could have been, you know, the webmaster
right.
not knowing exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So website's back up? And he knows it's back up?
Not yet. It'll be back up, I think, tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard when things aren't in your control and you have to count on other people. It's really challenging. But, you know, everybody has to be understanding that, you know, things do happen. And you just make the best of it.
And if they're not understanding, they probably would be somebody you would want to visit with
them, right,
despite the money.
Right.
Just next. So anyone else have a sales challenge? Yes.
I had a contact with somebody who was really gung-ho on the products and as far as the business aspect of it, and went back and forth for like about 3 days, emailed and sent her the information that she requested and that she talked. And then she won't even answer my emails or anything right now. So it's kind of weird. It's like she just disappeared. And yet I felt like there was good rapport, good interaction.
You don't know what's going on with people,
right? Yeah, that's true.
She right here?
No, she sounded very young.
Let's see, for personal experience, Louise asked.
You know what? You just cooling off period. Just, you know, let it sit for a while. And then you come back. You never know what happens in people's lives. You know, and one phone call can change someone's perspective completely. I mean, it could be anything. You know, I was talking to a member of Elite Leads a couple of weeks ago, and you would, to look at her, think that she's really well together, packaged, everything's great, everything in her life is perfect. We go out and have lunch, and I doubt that she, her boyfriend just broke up with her. Her daughter was in rehab. She had to take forced control of her two grandkids. And I'm thinking, oh my God, and she looks this good. I'm just pulling my hair out with all these things happening within a week period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know what happens. You know, life happens. You just kind of deal with it. And especially if you think that you have this good rapport with someone.
But that's a good question in terms of cooling off period. Week, week and a half to send the email.
At a week. And you know, and a lot of times, it, no one knows this, but I only call people one time. And if they don't return my phone call, I don't call them again. Period. Because I don't want people in late leads who are not responsive, right? So it's a weeding out process. You know, I make it really easy for people to deal with me. It's like the one phone call, you return it. You return it, great. Here's the meeting. I send you an email then. I send you an email notice a week before. I give you a call the Monday of the meeting. I make it really easy for people. If they don't show up three times, they're gone permanently, can never come back to a meeting. I don't tell people this, but I don't want flakes. So you need to establish your value in someone's life. So you are the solution to someone's challenge. You've got to own that. So you don't become subservient to other people. You let them know without any doubt that by working with you, they have the benefit. Now, even though they're paying you, they are paying you dearly because they're benefiting more dearly. You've got to own that as a salesperson. Because as soon as you start letting them think they have the upper hand, they can control your schedule, they can, you know, demand things from you, you've lost them as an ideal client. They become your nightmare. So I love it when David Blum fired his first client. I love this. I mean, it's like, you know, it's so empowering to go, wait a minute, money, problems. I'm going to go with, get rid of the problems, I'll get the money somewhere else. Understand the value that has to you. All the stress you have in your life is caused by people and situations that are out of your control. Learn to control those factors, especially in the sales cycle. Anything else? Anyone have a good sales mindset? No one's talking. First month of summer, summertime blues, is that what it was?
My stuff is about the same.
Same?
Yeah.
That's good. So what are you going to do to bump up your activity this month? Because you know, technically we only have 4.5 months left in the year. August is a down month because school starting, people don't typically do business transactions in August. from Thanksgiving through the end of the year. No one does business unless they have to get rid of money. So we're down to 4 months. So what are you going to do between now and November to make sure that your activity is what you want it to be? How many of you have been to a trade show in the last month? Which one did you go to?
I went to, there was down here on the Mike Festival.
Were you exhibiting?
Yes, in Alameda.
Did you talk to Robin about the...
No, but I wrote it down.
Not with you?
Not when he
doesn't want me.
No.
The entire city?
Well, I can enter Mountain View, there's a sign that says Airheads Band here.
No, actually, it's an oxygen bar and stuff in this band, I guess. So I don't know.
How
did
they do that?
I don't know. They didn't want me to enter any of their stuff. So it might have been just the person I talked to at the chamber, but they were pretty adamant.
I would talk to the exhibitors rather than the... what do they call the promotion people, rather than the chamber.
How much is it?
It varies. The most expensive is $9.50. That's the Fremont.
Wow. For outside?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty pricey.
That's really expensive. Mm-hmm. Walnut Creek, I think, is the second level, which is $4.50.
I rarely pay that. My inside stuff.
Which one is Fremont?
The Fremont is a 3-day craft show. It's a great venue. Fremont has 150,000 people.
You're talking about the Festival of India?
No.
Trade show.
I think it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Labor Day weekend. It's a craft show, but they have business. There's lots of business down there. Every chamber does a trade show of some kind, like a craft show, and they always have spots available for business. So if you can have like 30,000 people in 2 days come by and be aware, it's branding, right? It's acknowledgement that you're there, you're present, and it's a way of getting your name out there. So it's a wonderful venue for you to get visibility. You do not have to go through the chambers to get those booths. You can go through the promoters. So, you know, if you have someone, like most of the chambers let the service organizations pour the wine, you know, so you can have a booth that's dedicated to you. They had a Baja booth at the Pleasanton Street Fair last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I know that the Hayward every Thursday has a street fair. Did you know that?
Every Thursday?
So Noel is going to have a country festival, I believe, the first of October. And I believe we had a meeting last night. The booths will be available shortly.
So it's under Sonoma County?
Could you email us that information?
The website, I believe, when he gets it set up, will be noel.org.
Okay. When it gets set up.
Could you email us when the information is available?
Yeah, when I know about it. It's getting there.
Because I'm still getting obsessed about which ones for the Baja property is the most. You know, for whatever reason, I've found that some do well.
You know, it's a numbers game. And I don't care what you do, it's a numbers game. So, you know, typically all of you are going to find, other than Louise, a 1 in 20 ratio. And Louise, for general public, is going to be more like 1 in 50. Mm-hmm. So Louise, unfortunately, for numbers, is a business that's really parallel to going to the dentist. So people won't look at their financial planning until after they've been to the dentist, mm-hmm. and then they'll start looking at it. It's painful for people to look at what they don't have. And they don't have it because they haven't worked with Louise. So it's kind of this catch-22, so chicken and the egg night. And so that's the hardest thing. But all of you, if you talk to 20 people, you're going to get a client. And I don't care where you go. I don't care, you know, what the venue is, inside, outside, craft fair, business fair. It's a 1 in 20 ratio. So you make yourself available on a visibility level to do those things.
Well, it's back to, again, spending time with someone who's really unagreeable. You want to kind of think about, instead of offended, I'll be with someone, and I think my time might be spent elsewhere going.
Right.
To qualify.
Question on that. Say it's 150,000 is the expected attendance. Is there a formula or like an estimate of how many of those you would actually see at your booth? I mean, you're not going to get all 150,000 people stopping at your booth, obviously.
No, but what
that'd be nice to get a lot of clients.
What we're doing is we're talking about signage, right?
Right.
Earlier, we were talking about last night at street fair. Now, what do you do when you go to a street fair? You want to just look, right? You want to eat. You want to have something to drink. You want to listen to music. You want to just hang out. You don't want to think. So I had David Manor make me this sign, and I had, I'm going to say about 150 people actually talk to me at the street fair, which was really incredible to think about talking about building a home at the street fair.
How many would you say was the total attendance?
I don't know, but it was pretty crowded.
I would say about 3,000 or 4,000.
Okay, so 5%?
Maybe 1%.
1%.
Yeah, but I think that varies.
Yeah.
And it varies probably what your signage is. I mean, I can sometimes only have 30 people actually ask me for people sign up for information. So I have about 4.
Yeah.
Who cares about your sign? It's
really easy. Custom build a home, $350,000, and then it's plus land. I mean, so people go away. So pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to do something that's a shock statement to get people's attention.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You know, lots of ways you can do it. But I found is if you just stand there, people won't talk to you. So you have to gain that kind of visibility by getting people to register with something that's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then I'll weed that out, and I'll probably end up with 5 people for sure that I'll do business with. It was 3 last month, and there's 5 this month. So, you know, it's anything that you can do to literally get people to recognize who you are and why they want to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, summertime's great because there's so many outdoor activities that you can participate in. And there's something every single weekend that you can do. So I want you to think about, you know, you've got July and August that you can really bump up your activity. Robin's doing a great job. You're in the Women's Conference.
Women's Expo next weekend,
mm-hmm.
And then the San Jose Grand Prix get together.
So personality recognition is the one thing that helps you through the challenges of trying to deal with people. Because you go in and you explain to someone what it is that you do, hoping that they'll get it, why they want to work with you, and their personality doesn't hear the words that you're using. So you just waste your time and theirs. So when you look at the individual personalities, so what's most important to a driver, Robin?
You know, I just don't even suck at this.
Time. Exactly. Brad, analytical. What's most important?
Details.
Right. Stuff. Lots of stuff. Astera. Amiable.
Is this right? Like, making sure that they're making the right decisions.
Right. How can they please everybody? Right. So amiable doesn't want to make a decision unless everybody's happy. So Louise, what do you do to make an amiable make a decision?
The group's going to like them better than me. This particular project.
Right. That's what appeals to them. Typically, right. If you tell them where the biggest pain is, then they have to make the decision to work with you. So you have to tell them they're going to be in pain.
They're going to be in pain if they don't.
Right.
Right.
And they want to avoid pain above everything. Rita, expressive. What's most important?
Well, they look a good set of attention. Big knowledge. Feel like they're smart.
Right. So big vision, big picture.
Mm-hmm.
They love creating teams of people who do everything for them. So how do you recognize a driver, Michael?
How do you recognize a driver? Well, they're going to want to try to have control of the situation right from the beginning.
Right.
Do you know that you can tell body language who's a driver and every personality? The way people walk into a room, the way they sit, the way they stand, the way they engage in conversation. So there are clues so that when you're on a phone, there are specific words that each personality uses. And I want you to start listening for these words. Right? So if you go to... So the words that a driver uses, they're going to be more, I think, right? They intellectualize. A lot of times when a driver will finish your sentence for you, they get why they're going to work with you before you even told them what it is that you've done. So they're very quick at making decisions. They're my favorite group to deal with, not just because I am one, but they waste your time rarely, if ever. So a driver's going to be to the point. Get to the bottom line. All right, so the analytical person, they're going to use a lot of questions in the conversation. And they're constantly going to be asking you for details, statistics. With an analytical, you have to be very slow, very methodical. You have to constantly nurture them. It is painful.
Is not your favorite.
Okay, you got that. Very difficult to make an analytical person make a decision. So they make the decision when they're ready. They are not good business owners, and rarely are they business owners. So if you're talking to someone about a franchise and you see they're an analytical, don't do it. Because it's probably the guy in Fresno who doesn't want to run the business, he just wants to keep inventing stuff and gathering stuff and making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you can save yourself a big headache by understanding. Now, in Rita's case, yes, analyticals are going to buy property. They are a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So my impression is that you can work with four people who are drivers in the same amount of time it will take you to work with one analytical. So it's your choice. Louise and Brad will end up with a lot of analyticals.
It's okay. I'm an engineer, so that's
fun. Sarah, you probably end up with people a lot in the IT world that are analytical. And Robin rarely. Just the person you're married to.
Yeah.
So, if you really get to understand the traits of the personalities, if you really drill down to this information and have it at the tip of your tongue, as soon as somebody says, you know, I feel that this would just be really difficult for me to do. Who is it? You've got to hear the words. And then immediately you go into your... You know, I know how you feel, and my other clients felt that way too, but once you make the decision, this is what happened, and you give them the good news. Because you're not going to sell something to someone that they can't use or they don't need, but sometimes you have to let people know why they're making the decision. So the feel, felt, found is the most powerful way of turning someone around when they have said no. I can't, I don't think so, okay, I know how you feel. So you're sympathizing with them. What other people have found is once they made this decision, this is the benefit.
That's the amiable, because you're using the feeling words.
Right. Feel, felt, found.
Are you supposed to recognize these people like right away?
Usually within 30 seconds.
Really?
You can just snap right to it. And it's like Michael said, it's like, the words that they use, the way they conduct their conversation, the words that expressives use. Robin's an expression. So if Robin, what does it look like outside the window?
Sun.
What else do you see?
not the cars in the parking lot.
You're blocking yourself.
Okay, so Rita, what do you see?
I see some nice gentle movement of the trees. That's screen, but I'm saying.
Sarah, what do you see?
I feel that it's really warm up there.
Okay. Feel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that.
I asked her what she saw, and yeah, she felt.
She felt. She didn't hear your words.
Mm-hmm. It's her comfort level. See, it's not up to a Sarah to adopt to me. It's up to me to adopt to a Sarah.
Oh, I see.
Is that amazing?
So do that.
You can ask 10 people the same question and get 10 individual answers because of their amiable analytical, their amiable expressive, their driver analytical, their driver expressive. They might be driver amiable. They might be analytical expressive. So they can have a different bent on their personality, but if you look at the quadrants and you hear the words that are people are using, just like that, you know how to talk with them. So when you make calls to Sarah, what is it that's uncomfortable for you about the calls?
Everything.
Why? So think about this. Why is it uncomfortable?
I've been working with Nikki on why, whatever, on all these issues that I'm having with it, but the drive for when talking to a person, I don't feel that that I can make them see that it's going to be a pleasure and that it's going to be a benefit, and I don't know how to convince people of that. And
are you convinced?
Yes.
Alright, so here's what happens. With an amiable personality, they're always afraid that they're going to do an interrupt. You know, I'm sorry I'm calling, I'm sorry to bother you, and then so you take the subservient role. So if you instead looked at this. Now, I actually started out in analytical. So I was an efficiency expert for the state of California, and I would create systems that made departments profitable. All right, so I understand the analytical is just a pain in the neck. So I then became an amiable. I started going into more service sides of things, where somebody comes to me and I said, let me make you happy, you know, let me make this work, let me figure out how to make it better for you. Then I went into sales. And I have to adapt driver traits to survive in sales. I never got to the expressive. So what happened 5 years ago, and Louise will back me up on this, I spent 2 years trying to develop body language for speaking and in elite leads because I had none. Right? Expressives use their hands a lot. They're very vivacious. They've got a lot of expression. They're like when you talk to Robin about the air products, the oxygen and all this, she gets alive, right? That's her expressive coming out. When, Sarah, you own that what you're calling somebody for is to make their life better, you're going to go away from amiable, because you can't please everybody, into driver, which is where you need to be. So if you know how a driver thinks, what you want to do is adapt that driver position so that you're in the driver's seat. Does that make sense?
Well, you said something yesterday, and you said feelings have no place in business. Because I could see that feelings could get in the way of being successful in business.
Right.
That would be you going against it.
Do you all understand the philosophy that feelings do not belong in business? Business is not emotional. It's either or. Yes or no, but it's not emotion. So if you remove the emotion from business, you have no attachment to the outcome. You can celebrate the successes, but you're not allowed to have a negative response to business.
So have that as a discipline, because you'll learn from the things that don't go well. You'll learn from the things that aren't the way you thought they should be, but do not allow them in any way to affect you negatively. They are just learning positions for you, period. So if you can adapt that attitude, you can eliminate all the stress in your business. It's gone. There's no reason to have stress. So you set this up so that you're in control, and you are not allowing anyone else to dictate what happens to you in your business, first and foremost. And then by listening to the personalities, you immediately short-circuit your controls, your sales cycle by 50%. Right? So have you ever had someone buying a car? Who likes to buy a car? Anyone? Not a fun experience. 2-3 hours out of your life. Wouldn't it be great just to call someone up and say, this is the car I want. Will you please just bring it over? Right? You have to deal with salespeople. Right? Wouldn't it be great? Everybody feels like you feel about buying a car no matter what they're buying. So you keep that in mind when you're talking to people. And you make it easy for them. Do you know one of the things I was thinking about yesterday that absolutely amazes me is that my whole life is every day I get hugs from people. Isn't that pretty cool? Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it, the people that I'm doing business with are constantly hugging me. I just think this is amazing. But isn't it my attitude? I mean, I could do the same business and go, okay, here's this process, do this, go here, do that, and be totally removed from you and not approachable. And you wouldn't hug me. But what appeals to me is that closer relationship, having that camaraderie, you know, knowing that I'm making a difference for you, making it easier for you. What is it that you want people to remember you for when you do business with them? You need to be clear about that. Are you doing it just for the money? Then get out. Do not keep doing what you're doing. Find something that appeals to you. This would be Millie's first time ever doing a business, and so it's really cool that you can do it so that it serves you. It's wonderful, because most people get into a business because they lose a job, they can't find a job, they're fed up with, you know, commutes, or, you know, they don't like the boss. That's why they end up getting into a business. So Brad was laid off a year ago,
2 years
ago. 2 years ago. And the IT positions just weren't available, right?
Engineering
positions just weren't available. So what do you do? You go look around. He found a friend that had experience in mortgage, talked to him about it, went into it. But what happened that first year?
Struggles.
Major struggles. Because there was no one to lean on to go, what do I do? Where do I go? What's next? And what you have is the ability to walk your clients through what is next. What do you want? What makes your life better, easier, more productive, more profitable, have more fun? So remember, people like doing business with people who are having a good time. And Louise will tell you, there was no laughter in Elite Leads for the first 5 years. I wanted everything to be perfect. It was that analytical thing, you know, it had to be perfect and be just so. I mentioned yesterday in the meeting, do you remember Yvonne, the massage therapist? We were doing a meeting and somebody introduced themselves and their power partner at first. And she said, that's not right. You don't do that now. I looked at her and went, oh my God, what a reflection, because I used to think that everything had to be just so. So how do you set up your business? And the sales cycle is what helps you control that. So memorize this stuff. Carry this card. And every time you, before you talk to someone, read through this so that you understand when somebody is conversing with you, you can pick up immediately how to talk with them. Now, what's going to get really funny is when you're talking to people like Brad and Rita and sometimes Louise, and you might have partners, you might have couples, and one is an analytical and one is a driver.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you talk to?
The one that's going to make the decision.
which would be?
Depends on the situation.
The driver.
Right.
Always the driver.
Who's second at making decisions?
Usually an expressive if they feel they can build their empire, then amiable, then any local.
I'll tell you, there are situations, especially with married couples, where the driver is not the decision maker after the sales presentation. Where the driver will be the one that's in control, will do all of the questioning, will do everything, and then you walk out the door and the spouse takes over.
I have never found...
Especially it with Asian and Indian
cultural. I agree. Asian culture, the female is going to be dominant. Rarely Indian culture is female dominant, unless it's
the not while you're in the house doing not when you're in the house doing the presentation. Once you walk out the door.
No, there's only one sect of Indian culture that the woman will be dominant.
Yeah, I'm not saying in all situations, but in some situations.
Just one specific. It's what Neil Kribalani is. It's the only sect where the female will take precedence.
Mm-hmm.
So cultural differences are main differences. And in the Bay Area, we cannot get away from culture. I mean, it's here to stay. You've got to deal with the Vietnamese, the Korean. I mean, we've got everything. The black people from Africa, a different culture than the black people that are from here. So you have to understand how to communicate with each one. But personality recognition is one of the easiest tools and the most easily recognizable ways of being able to work with people. All right, so it's just to give you a leg up. So then your sales knowledge, right? So here's Millie starting brand new. Have you agreed to have the training yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So before Millie can even talk to someone, she goes to the training, then you're probably going to want to talk to some other people that they've already trained. You know, just brainstorm with people.
Yeah, I have a call into somebody. I've called several people around our area.
Great.
That they have no connection with, and just to find out what the business is really like.
Great.
So, and now I have to upgrade my computer to get training.
That's fair.
So, hey,
they come to your house.
So, yeah.
It's fair.
We do. You do?
With your computer? In fact, they came next door to you.
What? No kidding. Really?
So, what I want you to think about when you're talking with people is how you can make it easier for them, because that's going to make it easier for you. So you don't say the same thing to everybody. You say it to their personality style. And then you say it in such a way that it makes it seamless for them to work with you. That's what's really important. Okay, so, questions?
Yeah. You're familiar with NLP and modalities and submodalities and visual, auditory, kinesthetic, decision makers, and internal, external, all that stuff. Does that take precedence over personality styles?
No. NLP is a way of changing behavior. It's a way of mocking behavior, and it's a way of acknowledging behavior. Personality recognition is to give you better communication skills.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right. But NLP, from the way that I was trained in NLP, gets way beyond the personality trait of the individual to what their actual... Most people have a three-step decision-making process that they go through?
Yeah, I'm going to say that that's really not the case in general.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, people are going to be yes or no early on. And if it's yes, okay, you don't have to worry about it. But if it's no, that's where the personality recognition comes in, because it's getting them comfortable.